CliffCentral.com. It's Hayden James with Just a Lover. Just as Malala is here with us, it is time for The Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Every week, it's usually on a Thursday. Justice had a flight yesterday, so he's here today. And plus, it's a Friday, so we can maybe, after we've gone into the heavy stuff, get into some ridiculous things too. Good morning, Justice. How are you?
All good, all good. It's lovely to be here.
On a Friday, it's nice.
On a Friday, yeah.
Mm. Huh? Different feel.
I'm feeling relaxed. I feel like we should just play music.
Well, that would be fine, except that there's so much to talk about, we can't. Let's get straight into it. People have got a lot of questions, and you know, every time you come in, then people send other questions over and above the ones that we've already got on the agenda. But let's start off with all the things that have happened this week. I saw that the Communication Workers Union have decided to come out publicly against President Jacob Zuma and say it's time for him to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, this is something that's a bit of a, how shall I say, it's becoming a trend. It's becoming, you know, Jacob Zuma has been such a powerful force in our politics from 2007 when he won in Polokwane near the ANC conference through to today. And people like me are constantly saying, oh, no, no, he's not going away yet. He's not going away yet. He's not going away yet. But, you know, every day now, something seems to go ding, and it's a shift in the power equation. So this declaration yesterday by the Communication Workers Union, it's the key thing is that it's the second huge COSATU union that's coming out and saying this. The first one was NAHAU, which is the biggest trade union in COSATU, which said, you know what, President Zuma, it's time for you to clear out. And they're not saying wait for the conference. They're saying, Kona manje, Baba.
Now.
Now. Make
but
way
Justice,
for Cyril.
Does this mean that COSATU are being pressured from within to make themselves speak out against him? Or have they already done that?
There's huge pressure in COSATU. Remember that COSATU, we like to use the word captured. So let's use that word in terms of COSATU. COSATU, for a long time, there have been some unions saying, we're not happy with the way COSATU is run because COSATU seems to be run by President Zuma from the ANC. And he just tells COSATU, you go and do this. And COSATU has to comply.
Yeah, and in which case, what's the point of a union?
What's the point of a union if you're being told the way to behave and what to criticize and what
and
not
especially
to criticize?
For a lot of people in the unions, they are government workers. And if you're a government worker and the boss is your government, but then your boss is also telling your union what to do, it kind of makes you wonder whether you'd need the union.
What's the point of the union? So COSATU, at the time with 2.2 million members, was basically constantly hearing from Zuma saying this and that and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's why the battle started between Zolin Zimavavi and Zuma Dlamini. Zolin Zimavavi was kicked out, and then NUMSA said, we are walking out as well, and they walked out. If this continues, basically you'll have NAHAU as well walking out. You might, well, NAHAU might not walk out because it's in its biggest, its employees are nurses and so forth in the public service. So they want to stay in there to keep on getting the kind of increases that they've always got from government. But the key thing is that, yes, COSATU is essentially divided. You're having its top unions walking away, basically, from Zuma Dlamini and his leadership at COSATU House. The next one, it will be SACAWU. SACAWU is going to come out, and the Commercial and Catering and Allied Workers Union, FAU, same thing. So I think what you're seeing is the destruction of COSATU, and it's all differences built around Jacob Zuma. Now, but I think it's significant that
this would add to his charge sheet, because he would have destroyed the biggest
trade union
confederation in South African history. Yeah.
After 30 years of COSATU, COSATU is is splitting, basically. It's, you've already got NUMSA out, FAU out. Then you're having all these others saying, you know what, need to change. Zuma Dlamini sits there because he's on the Jacob Zuma side, and he just keeps on saying, no, no, comrades, stay in line and protect Jacob Zuma. But it's falling apart.
Jeez. Now, does this mean that this is another nail in the Zuma coffin? And how many people are left as allies for him? How many allies does he still have?
He still has many. He still has Mpumalanga province. He still has KwaZulu-Natal province. Remember, in KwaZulu-Natal now, the premier is ill, Willie Simkunu. He is begging to be allowed to step down because he says the workload is making him even more sick.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to get to become premier? The chairman of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal is Sihle Zikalala. Sihle Zikalala, you'll remember him from December 2007, when he, at the first session of the ANC conference in Polokwane, he's the Tera Lekota was the chair. Tera Lekota stands up and says, welcome, comrades, Amandla. And Sihle Zikalala stands up and says, point of order. And he basically destroyed that session. Him and his comrades started doing the sign to change over for basically, as they use in football, right? Saying change the player, take this one out and put one in, and basically you are saying it's time for Tera Lekota and Thabo Mbeki and all of them to get out. So this is a dyed in the wool hardline Jacob Zuma supporter. He's been behind the rise of Jacob Zuma since his days in the ANC Youth League. And now he's the premier. He's going to be, in the next few months, the premier of KwaZulu-Natal. And those are the people who are going to vote for Jacob Zuma or for a Jacob Zuma proxy at the ANC conference in December next year. So Jacob Zuma still has some very strong forces behind him. But we've used this expression before, as you asked, is this another nail in the coffin? Yes, it is. But there are lots of nails and there's a lot of wood in Jacob Zuma's coffin. But yes, it's yet another one. And, you know, to go to our second topic, it's essentially this on the side of the trade unions. Another one walks away. He's a little bit weaker. If you take the trade unions that are walking away, plus the SA Communist Party and what it says, basically he's lost Bladen Zimande and Jeremy Cronin and all those guys. Mm-hmm. So he keeps on losing his support base. It keeps on falling apart. But one of the things...
So what he's got left is the Premier League, is KwaZulu-Natal,
mm-hmm.
is the Youth League,
the Women's League. Yeah.
That's
and MKMVA.
Oh, okay. The veterans under Kebby Mapatsa.
Under Kebby Mapatsa. Even the veterans who are 20 years old, and you wonder where they fought, but they're fully behind Comrade Zuma. But the key, one of the key things about Jacob Zuma is his control of the institutions and of the security establishment in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So who exactly is David Mahlobo? We know David Mahlobo because he likes manicures and a bit of a massage.
Yes.
No happy finishes. Anyway. No.
That's what he says. That's what he's telling us.
I hate you too. And your sure. dirty mind. Anyway, he likes a bit of a massage. We know that.
Uh-huh.
Can I use that line again?
Sure, of
he
course.
Likes a bit of a massage.
Yeah,
no
sure.
happy finishes.
No.
A manicure, maybe.
Right.
A pedi, maybe.
There we go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Something, anything that a spa does that does not involve anything sexual, he's up for. He likes a facial.
Yes, yes.
He
yes.
likes a little bit of a mask. A mud bath.
Yes, yes.
All of that
yes.
stuff, yeah. What a creep.
Totally. What a creep. Anyway, so who is David Mahlobo? David Mahlobo was a guy working in some municipality in Mpumalanga. No one knew who this guy was. No, nothing. And lo and behold, Jacob Zuma plucks him from this smaller Nyana municipality and makes him the intelligence minister, mm-hmm. state security minister. And today the man is under pressure, He's under pressure. He visited that spa. He says, I don't know that guy. But we know that when he says he didn't know that guy, Guang, who is implicated in rhino horn trading,
yes.
Hana, rhino horn, massage. Anyway, so he says...
Are you insinuating something?
No, I'm just saying the man whose spa he visited and is in the picture with him is implicated in illegal rhino horn trading.
Okay.
A man can speak around here, right?
Sure.
Thank you. That's the point of Touch Central. That's why I love it. So, there you go. He's implicated in all this, and he says, I don't know that man. He just took a picture with me. But yesterday, it emerges that he also said he knows
Mqebo Dlamini.
Mqebo Dlamini. And Mqebo Dlamini has been to his house. Hello.
But he said in parliament that Mqebo Dlamini has never been in his
house. How what? So if I want to believe him on this issue, should I believe him on the Guam issue? Or should I? What should I believe? Is he a man of integrity, of honor? Is he going to do? So for me, the second strand about Jacob Zuma is this, that the security apparatus that he'd built around himself is also falling apart.
Well, because he chose such rubbish people to head it up for him. If he'd chosen smarter, more Machiavellian people, he might have had a chance. But look at Sean Abrams. Look at Burning in Klemeza. Claudi Motsweneng. You can't have Claudi in the security cluster, but you know what we mean.
No, but remember
look
that...
Look at this David Matlobo.
Exactly. All of them are... And all of them are in trouble. So Burning in Klemeza is going to lose his job. Remember, and I like quoting this because I love it. It's the only thing I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
But Judge Matojane of the Pretoria High Court in a judgment last year said this man didn't lie once or twice or three times under oath. He lied numerous times under oath. How can we have a guy who lied under oath as the
heading
head
up
of
the special crimes unit?
Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But whose job is it to take him to court for perjury?
You know what? Someone out there, one of our listeners should just go and lay a charge, quite frankly.
Would that be enough?
Yeah. I mean, there it is. It's in the court papers. Maybe someone should speak to some of the NGOs, Freedom Under Law and someone. In fact, Freedom Under Law and the Helen Suzman Foundation are taking him to court, and they're saying he's not fit for office. You can't have a man like that. So imagine he goes. Sean has been asked by Jacob Zuma to go. Mm-hmm. So he might go. Now, who was supposed to be whitewashing all these nefarious activities? It's Claudio Motsweneng making sure that no negative news on the SABC. Whitewash, come on. More paint.
Doing his job.
He's not doing his job. Why? Because he's under pressure too. Jackson Mthembu is going to sue his pants off. One. Two, 20 different people are challenging his appointment to whatever position he's managed to wangle for himself at the SABC. It's all not looking so good for Jacob Zuma appointees. And I think...
Did you hear about Professor Maguve? He's the only one left on the board.
I think he should call a board meeting.
I think he probably can in his own house. His board meeting. You know how he calls a board meeting? He decides there's a board meeting.
Exactly. And he sits on the crapper and says, and now we take a decision. But let's
Professor Maguve. And Faith Mutambi won't move either way. She won't make a decision.
Because
she's also completely useless.
It's a farce. It's an absolute farce. And to think that President Zuma thinks he's running a government with someone like Faith Mutambi, who doesn't see that Professor Maguve, who says, I'm going nowhere. Well, your whole board has abandoned you. The whole ship has sunk. And you're sitting there.
Sitting on a piece of wood saying, I'm the captain of the Titanic.
It's incredible. But also, how do people do that? And
you either have to be really ballsy. I thought about this the other day. Don't you either have to be the kind of person who just does not care about what other people think, and you're just thick-skinned beyond belief?
No, you have to be a sociopath.
Correct. Or you have to be completely stupid.
Yeah.
Like really, really, really low level.
Yeah, no, I think we should leave it there. Right. I think that's what it is.
All right.
How else do you explain this?
There's other stuff, though. There's some things that I did want to touch on with you. So let's talk about the Hawks for a second, because that whole saga with Pravin Gordhan is not over yet.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's interesting, your chats with Anthea earlier on, and you guys talk about investments, about, you know, take this stock and so forth. Just think back to December last year and what happened. Tlantlanen is fired by Jacob Zuma. He brings in Des van Rooyen. The Rand takes an absolute hammering.
20% of our value lost.
Boom,
overnight.
Gone. Now, think if you'd bought some banking stocks. You know, they were hammered. The banking shares lost huge amounts. Think about October 11. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't talk enough about October 11 this year because, you know, it's sort of become semi-normal, these kinds of movements. But what happened was that on the 10th, excuse me, on the 10th of October, the head of the NPA, Sean Abrahams, goes to Luthuli House.
Mm-hmm.
He meets the Justice Minister. He meets Jacob Zuma.
Right.
He says, we went to talk about fees must fall. Well, if you're talking about fees must fall and you're talking about whatever, surely you don't meet Jacob Zuma and the Justice Minister only. You meet the head of the police, the ministry. You meet the higher education minister. They were not there. So what exactly were you talking about on fees must fall? But then the next day, Sean Abrahams holds a rambling 1 hour plus press conference in which he says, the days of disrespecting the NPA are over. Well, look at the past month. But anyway, so that day, the Rand again takes a beating. Banking stocks, financial services goes haywire, and everyone loses money, and everyone is in a panic, and confidence drains out of the system. So now, after Sean the Sheep has withdrawn those charges against Pravin, and people are saying, oh, it's looking good, maybe we won't be downgraded, the political situation seems to be calming down. We keep on hearing that the Hawks are saying, man, we're going to nail this guy, Pravin Gordhan. We're going to nail him. We keep on hearing that they've increased the number of people that are investigating this terrible, terrible crime that has been committed. We keep on hearing that, oh, no, this time we're not going to, we will do it. Now, if this is the kind of chatter we're getting from all these guys, my view is that given the balance of forces, in December, we might have new charges. In December, or maybe sooner, but I think in December, new charges brought against Pravin Gordhan. If that happens, that will be our December surprise, a la 9/12 last year.
It will be our ratings downgrade as well.
It will be our ratings downgrade.
Which some people are saying, even if Pravin remains in place, is inevitability.
Well, I mean, we make it an inevitability if this thing happens. And in fact, whether it happens or not, the problem is this. Those ratings agencies are in town now over the next few weeks, and they're meeting Pravin. And the worst thing that is happening is that their first question is, oh, so, Minister, in fact, they were meeting National Treasury, yesterday? Mm-hmm. And the first question is, well, Mkhwebisi Jonas, so lovely to see you. Are you going to be arrested? Are you going to be fired? Oh, Pravin Gordhan, so lovely to see you. Are you going to be arrested? Are you going to jail? That is the beginning of a very, very negative conversation. And again and again, this is where someone has to speak to the top notch, to Baba, and say, Baba, look, you're damaging us. You're damaging this economy. Do something, act in a manner that befits the president of the Republic.
What do you think his play is here? I mean, if you were Jacob Zuma, what's the best course of action to take to protect yourself? Because he doesn't care about anyone else.
I think if I was Jacob Zuma, I'd say, you know what, we've made a bit of cash on the many deals that were done between Eskom and the Gupta family. As Ajay Gupta allegedly told Mkabisi Jonas, Duduzani has become a billionaire. It's time to ask yourself, how much is enough? How much money is enough money? And it might be worth saying maybe 20 million is enough money, or maybe 1 million is enough money, or maybe 100 million. So if Duduzani has those billions and is a proxy for his dad, Jacob Zuma then needs to go to Cyril Ramaphosa and say, maybe I'd like to cut the deal in which you find a way not to prosecute me and I step down right now. The confidence, the happiness, the joy on the streets of South Africa. You know, you could literally declare a public holiday and people would be just joyous.
But will he do that?
He won't do it. So he's going to cling on and fight on. And we're going to have this messy, messy business go on and on and on. So given the way things are going, I suspect that unless Sean Abrahams grows a spine and says to Benning Tlemeza, go jump in the lake. I'm not going to prosecute this man. I'm not going to take the case. Then we will see charges and we'll have the damage. Essentially, we are in a period of damage. It's a scorched earth. It's I will destroy everything to get to my billion or 2 billion or 3 billion. And that's the sad part of what we're going through now.
Well, while we're talking about money, there's no money for free education, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they've said.
Yes.
But we've just heard in the last 2 days about this wastage of 46 billion rand in irregular expenditure. Kimi Makwetu, what do we make of this?
Well, I mean, firstly, the Auditor General has been a fantastic office. They go into municipalities, they look at the books and they say, this thing's not working.
Mm.
And when we talk about this sort of expenditure, it's basically your municipality in Matlosana or some backwater somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they just spend money and they don't do invoices. So it's, Ben gave us a bit of work and Ben sent us an invoice and Ben doesn't send it. And the finance officer doesn't say, where's the invoice?
They just pay Ben anyway.
Pay Ben. So when I come around to say, where's the 20,000 rand? It's, we gave it to Ben. Where's the paperwork? Did you really put it in Ben's account? Did you verify that the account you put it into is Ben's account? Or was it some fraudster or Justice Malala walking past and he put his account? You know, there's no controls. Mm. There's no system. This is what it means. Basically, money gets transferred to some of these municipalities. Money is paid through rates and taxes to these municipalities. And they just spend it without us having a way of knowing how they spent it. So you can imagine how many relatives are putting in fake invoices for work not done, and boom, it's all okay. So we can jump up and down and say there's no money, but here we've just wasted 46 billion rand.
Yo.
We don't know where it's gone. We can't account for it.
Yo.
And this is the tragedy, because you know what? There are poor people out there. There are people who are desperate for some cash for education, and we are just, boom, down the drain. And that's where we should be jumping up and down.
And PRASA, let's just look at PRASA's part in this, because that's a huge part of this bill. So this is the Passenger Rail Association of South Africa.
Yeah.
To date, I've never met anyone who said to me, my goodness, but passenger rail in South Africa is wonderful. I love traveling by train. It is my favorite way of getting from Ennerdale into town. It is the best thing that you've ever tried. You've got to get on it. It's brilliant. It's efficient. It's always on time. They don't make us pay too much. Never have I heard this.
You'll never hear it. The other day, I jumped on a train in Cape Town. One of the things that breaks my heart is if you're on the False Bay coast and there's the train from the city to Simonstown, it is the most beautiful train ride, I think, probably anywhere in the world. You look out, there's the mountains behind you and there's the ocean in front of you. But the train is dirty. the windows are dirty and they're full of graffiti. So you look out and you can't even see this beautiful, beautiful scenery. If you're Italian and you want to come to South Africa, here's the most beautiful train ride. You can't do it. Worse, you know, getting a ticket, getting onto the train. So this is a train. And I say to one of the guys, why don't you just wash the thing? And, you know, it can be whatever. Let it be clean and it's not done. And look at the at what's happening at Prasa. 13 billion rand.
Jesus.
13 billion rand in irregular expenditure. You've got to ask yourself, if you're an executive at that organization and 13 billion rand, I'm not talking about like some government, and this is a state-owned enterprise. It should be run like a business.
Right.
13 billion rand.
I mean, you should be making money. It should be making money that goes into the coffers of state that we can use.
Exactly.
Imagine how many people's lives we could improve in South Africa. How many poor people who are on social grants we could help with. But with 46 billion. Imagine all that irregular expenditure was channeled into a social improvement initiative.
You know, there are two things for me this year that have been interesting. One was that people started saying, if President Zuma, other officials of state are going to challenge court decisions willy-nilly and lose, they should pay out of their pockets for that sort of thing. I think if you're a civil servant and that happens on your watch, then I think we should involve the police.
We should come after you.
We should come after you. And there is no using so, state resources to protect
And not only
protect
should
yourself.
You have to pay it back, but you should also have to go to jail.
That's for me, this is what 13 billion rand. Surely to, what's his name, Montana.
Lucky Montana.
If this is what's on his watch, or before his watch and all the others,
straight
then
to jail.
He should be accountable. He should be telling us what happened there. And I think this whole thing where the Auditor General reports and there's no remedial action, I think it needs to stop. It needs to stop now.
Well, I mean, from your mouth to Gedlehlekisa's ears. What about Shaun the Sheep? This is the thing that everybody's been waiting for your opinion on.
We
had some interesting interchanges at the beginning of this week that were revealed.
Yes, indeed. So the president has asked Shaun the Sheep to give him reasons why he shouldn't be suspended as head of the National Prosecuting Authority. Shaun the Sheep is busy working on his response. He's mulling the problem over. But I keep thinking, Shaun, how many times have people asked you, my brother, here are charges from the time of Bulelani Ngcuka. There are 783 counts of fraud, racketeering, and corruption.
Against one man.
This is when he was taking money from Shabir Sheikh and his companies straight into his account for two, allegedly, swing contracts and protect Ngobi Holdings, which was Shabir Sheikh's company. So the evidence has been gathered. Everything is there. In fact, the evidence is so strong that Shabir Sheikh was convicted.
Correct.
And sentenced to 15 years in jail. So this case has been tested in court. It's solid. It's watertight. The man was bribed because the briber went to jail. But the bribee, the one who's receiving the cash, it's basically like, oh, you know what? Tonight we're going to have a party at Touch Centre. And then I come here, I drink a little bit too much. I drive home. Hello, that's one of Herman Mashaba's traffic cops. Eh? Justice, come this side.
Yeah.
And I stop. And the guy says, a little cold drink. And I say, yeah, sure. And so I take my money out. I give it to him. And I get hit. Boom. And he takes the money. Eh? And I go to jail for bribing him.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't go to jail for soliciting and taking and enjoying the bribe. So the case is done. It's watertight. All we have to do is take the bribee, take him to in front of a judge and say, this one, this one.
This one is
this one is the one who took the bribe.
Okay. And all that evidence is gathered. There's no work to be done.
There's no work to be done. It's finished. It's done. It's gone through one court of law. It's done. It's closed. So that docket is in Shaun the Sheep's bottom drawer. And my thing is, Shaun. Go, say, man.
Do your job.
Do your job, man. Do your job. You know, Shaun needs to realize that there are many, many people who went to school, went to university, became professionals in this new, fantastic, great South Africa, and they do good work. Mm-hmm. And then they get tangled up in the Jacob Zuma web. And what happens to them is almost inevitable, to use the word you used earlier. It's inevitable that you will suck up, you will protect, you will try to make Jacob Zuma look good.
And then he'll throw you under the bus.
One of the best people in this country, Brian Molefe, went and did deals with the Gupta family, and now he's been forced to resign. And he will be answering questions about a Shebeen for the next 10, 15 years about why he called Ajay Gupta 44 times and did him a deal with Optimal.
How embarrassing for his children. And that's when he started crying at that press conference, because he suddenly realized the legacy I'm handing on to my kids is that I made up a Shebeen that didn't exist in Saxonwold. Forevermore, wherever Brian Molefe's kids go, they will be laughed at and ridiculed because their dad has sold out
to Jacob Zuma.
And who doesn't come to his rescue, by the way?
No.
Quiet, he never does. He never comes to the rescue of any of these people.
Shona
Blade Nzimande used to be his big protector. Mm. Blade Nzimande was out there defending the president at every turn.
And
the president has turned his back on Blade. He's worse. He's put him in the one portfolio he knew he would fail in.
And you know what? The gossip out there keeps on coming up that, Blade Nzimande wasn't even in the struggle. He was in the IFP.
Yeah.
And that gossip is basically perpetuated by the same people who used to say, oh, go on, protect him and so forth. It's you'll get thrown under the bus. So Shaun Abrahams is in exactly the same position. He'll be thrown under the bus after everything is done to go after Pravin Gordhan and so forth and so forth. So he has a chance.
The only way he could rehabilitate his reputation is this thing in the bottom drawer that you're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly.
And what is the likelihood that Shaun the Sheep would do this?
Well, I think it's very unlikely, but I always say it's possible to grow some balls in a very short space of time. And Shaun should really, really try harder. And if he gets them, the country will love him. He will become the Tuli Madonsela of this period. He should just go for it. Grow some.
He's got the power now.
He could be beautiful. But will he choose the path?
Now, what happens to a president if he is convicted? As you say, all the evidence is already there. All the judge has to do is send him to jail.
Mm.
What happens to a president who's sent to jail, and what happens to government in his wake?
Oh, no, it's very straightforward. This is the nice thing about the Constitution. We've already worked it out. Mm-hmm. So he would Parliament would vote him out, as it were, because he's been convicted.
Do they have to vote?
I think it's almost, there has to be a mechanism in Parliament where the Speaker says, well, we've got this, and it's automatic that the President has been found guilty. He is down in the cells as we speak. And so Parliament now has to elect a new President. And so the majority party, the ANC, with 62%, would probably say we put forward Cyril Ramaphosa or Jackson Mthembu or whoever as the next person. And it's done and dusted. It's all set out in the Constitution.
And then move on.
And then we all move on.
We leave the Zuma era behind. He sits in jail.
It's all good. Sean needs to grow.
Sean, down. You could really, you could become a part of history where you're not called the sheep.
Sean.
Or you could stay there and you could be Sean the sheep forever. This is your chance. He thinks it was very unfair, by the way. He thinks people were very mean to him.
Well, I mean, he was very mean to Opa Magashula, who has for the past year been hounded by him. It was very unfair on Ivan Pile, who has for the past year been hounded by him. It has been particularly terribly unfair on Pravin Gordhan, who has a job to do and has been hounded by him. So, you know, I mean, really, cry me a river. Quite frankly, I don't take it.
Justice Malala, thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure. Lovely to be here. And Ben, I still love you.
And you.
That makes me feel better.
Do you have some choice words for Mabali? Mabs, come in here. Justice wants to talk to you. She didn't want to interrupt the burning platform, but I'm sure you have some things to say to
Mabali. No, I mean, Mabali, we are very disappointed, really. Very disappointed that, you know, you were not here after bleating mightily last week about justice is never here. You know, we make an extra special effort. You'll realize that I'm speaking like Saudi now.
We
made an extra effort. We even got up half an hour early to be on time.
I'm sorry. The reason I'm in this predicament is because I got up half an hour late. I never want to be stuck in peak hour traffic.
It's the worst, huh?
Ever again.
It's happened to me.
No. I was in traffic for an hour.
No, it's terrible.
Wow.
It's really bad, huh? And you see how people who are used to that, they have this serenity about them. They're calm. They sit in the traffic. I lose my mind. I can't do it.
I lost my mind today.
Yo, and it doesn't matter which road you go down.
No.
There's traffic.
Sure.
No, I tell you what, there are a lot of cars out there.
And people say this economy is not pumping.
Mm. Imagine how much more it would be pumping if only some of the things that you spoke about just now happened.
Indeed.
All right, Justice,
indeed.
Thank you very much. The Burning Platform,
absolute pleasure, guys.
Is brought to you by Nando's every week. All the most interesting, talkable topics in South Africa, whether they're social, economic, political, or all of the above. Justice Malala, every single week. We'll see you on Thursday. You don't have a flight at 6 a.m. that you haven't told us about yet.
I'm
you sure?
I'm here at 7
you sure?
AM.
All right, thanks, Justice. We're just checking. Flax, just phone Justice on Wednesday to check.
Manicures.
Then, oh yes, you must go to the Mbombela Spa of Gwan. That's apparently the best place to go. In fact, while Nando's is the sponsor, for that particular part of the Burning Platform, that was brought to you by the Mbombela Spa of Gwan. All right?
Let's see. Let's actually see your fingers, Justice.
Let's see how are your fingers manicured, Justice?
No.
Okay, there you say.
Ben made a good point. Why doesn't David Mahlobo show everybody how beautiful his fingernails are? Then we'll believe he went there for a manicure. But I bet you he doesn't have nice fingernails, huh? What do you think?
I think we should do a live broadcast.
We should do a live broadcast from the NIA headquarters, and he must be there and he must show us his fingers. That's exactly what he's got to do. Thank you, Justice.
I've withdrawn my fingers. As you can see, my hand ahead, yeah.
It's Jonas Blue with Ray and By Your Side. Touch Central FM, cliffcentral.com. Friday! Hey! Yeah. Woo! Don't we love this day of the week? Pashida, come here. I want Pashida to tell us about how happy she is on a Friday, because she's happy from Monday to Thursday as well. So if Pashida isn't extra happy on a Friday, then I don't know. There should be squealing noises.
Yes! Yes, I'm very happy. This week has just been dragging. I'm just like, can't forget your Friday. I was just like, ah!
She just jumped around.
I know. Like, I got out of bed. Like, yeah. Today I literally jumped out of bed. The whole week I've been rolling out of bed. Today I jumped out of bed. I was like, I'm here for Friday.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the awesomest.
Hey, listen, O'Neill had Mbuyiseni Ntlozi on yesterday.
He did. Very yesterday nice. Was very interesting. It was so interesting. And Rose was just in last.
Mm. He's the people's bae.
He is. Yeah. And Rose was just like, if you guys don't find me tomorrow, just know where I am.
But, you know, that guy, he's all about the brains, hey?
He is. And his music choices too. Very, very deep.
Yeah. Now, what have you got on Lerato's show today? The best of both worlds with Lerato Shabalala and Pashida. What have we got?
Let me tell you. Today is Freaky Friday. We have Freaky Fridays on Friday.
You guys do a lot of sex and stuff.
Mm. It's not a lot of sex stuff. It's educational and it's fun. Right. Don't be a prude, Gareth.
All right.
Okay. So today we're talking about how much sex is too much sex. Okay. And when is sex an obsession? When does it become an obsession or an addiction? And how can you bring the spark back to your sex life if you've been doing it too long and you've been together for too long?
Okay.
Yes.
That's very good. That'll help people.
It will. Okay. And we have all the freaks coming out on Fridays.
Who do you have in the studio talking about sex?
Fridays, we never usually have a guest. We only like freaks to join us. If you're a prude, we don't let you into the studio.
Oh, very
good. Yeah, so it's Lerato and Teddy, and then we might get some callers in, you know.
Mr. Donald Trump, he grabs people by the pussy. Is he allowed in?
He's allowed in. He's grabbed a proper freak.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Pashida.
No problem.
All right. There we go. That's a look at the rest of the lineup today. Kat and Ari from 9 o'clock this morning. All right, let's get into some sport with Ben. I know we're meant to do news headlines, but we'll give Mabs a chance to settle in. Shame she woke up late this morning, and then she made the very stupid decision of getting onto William Nicol.
Where traffic lights were not working.
William Nicol, where all cars go to die.
Yeah, basically.
Traffic hell. The place, the Mordor of traffic. William Nicol. If you don't live in Johannesburg, let me try and explain this to you. William Nicol is the major artery between Fourways, that area, Fourways and Bryanston, into Sandton, and then eventually it becomes, Jan Smuts or whatever, right?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, now somewhere along William Nicol, at any time of day, at any point, it's a parking lot.
Yes.
Somehow something happens there where all cars have more red brake lights going than they have engines running.
It's disgusting.
Oh, it is the Iraq and Afghanistan of roads.
Guys, we're all going to become like Nigeria. You realize this?
What do you mean?
We're not going to be able to go anywhere. We need helicopters. Drones need to pick us up. Because traffic's just going to become like Nigeria.
I'm working on the passenger drone. Remember, that's one of my big plans.
You see, I have a solution to avoid this all. Mm-hmm. It's called the Sandroll Consideration Program.
Yes.
So different industries have consideration for different industries. So lawyers have to get to court in the morning. So they're allowed to leave at a certain time. Radio morning breakfast allowed to leave at a certain time. Other industries that aren't subject to time and that leave in a different window period.
Yeah, but most people's business hours, Flex, are 9 to 5.
Let's start incorporating 8 to 4, 10 to 6, stuff like that.
Okay, so have a shifted pattern where you peak hour is spread between all hours of the day.
We get those dudes that do maths and all that
actuaries.
They work out a solution. What sort of industries date what sort of industries, and they leave at a certain time and carpool. And just stats and just get it all together for the Sandroll Consideration Program.
All right, and do we have to pay for this?
Yeah, you pay as you go under e-toll.
But that's only in the highways. All right, enough. It's a reasonable thought. I'm not prepared to figure out government transportation policy right now. Let's get into some sport with Ben this morning. Ben, what do you have for us?
Well, Ravi Chandran Ashwin is doing really well at the crease now for India, while Moran Ali had a bit of a little wicket blitz. They've steadied the ship. India are now 407/7 with Jayant on 21. So they need at least 450 here. It's a good batting wicket. At least 450 here puts a lot of pressure on the palms. And then hopefully in the fourth innings they can just spin them out. And then laugh at them and go, haha, you come to India, you get a loss. Right, in football news, this is the big weekend for the leagues because we've had international action recently. So there have been all those international friendlies or World Cup qualifiers. It's never the best football. You know, if people like their countries and that kind of stuff, it's very much a secondary thing. Not like rugby, where international rugby is a big deal, or cricket, international cricket is the big deal. In football, it's all about the clubs. So, looking at the PSL, right. So, Sundowns, for the first time in the PSL, are going to have a star on their shirt. Any idea why, my buddy?
Because they won against those Egyptians.
Wow, my buddy, your voice is getting deeper by the day.
I know. It's a side effect of the flu that I had earlier this week, Ben.
Yes, that is correct. The CAF Champions League. They get a star on their shirt, and they're going to go out in front of 23 people at Loftus, and they're going to be able to, well, try and get some PSL points here. They've only played 3 games, so they're very much behind the pecking order here.
Hip, hip, hooray!
Played 1-1, lost 1, drawn 1. That's their record so far in the PSL. They are the defending PSL champions, so they've got a long way to go to get back into the running with the other teams. They'll take on Kaizer Chiefs 3:30 Saturday. Chipper United will take on Cape Town City at 3:30. Baroka FC versus Supersport United at 3:30. Orlando Pirates versus Free State Stars. Big one there at 6 o'clock. And then IS Cape Town will hopefully just try get a win against fellow basement dwellers Maritzburg United at 8:15. And then Platinum Stars versus Wits. That's another big one to watch out for. 8:15. On to the English Premier League, where people are really excited about Man United versus Arsenal. So, whenever Wenger and Mourinho get together, well, Wenger doesn't win. I think it's been 13 consecutive times that these two have matched up against in various teams. Obviously, Arsenal's been Arsenal. Mourinho has been a variety of teams. So, is this game going to be the one they turn it around? Well, it's also been 10 years since Arsenal have won at Old Trafford, where the game will be played. I say yes.
I say yes.
Man United are going to lose 2-1 to Arsenal at 2:30 tomorrow, Saturday. Other games to look out for there: Everton versus Swansea at 5, Watford versus Leicester at 5, Crystal Palace versus Man City at 5, Southampton versus Liverpool at 5, all these times South African time, of course, and Spurs West Ham at 7:30. And then Sunday, if you like Chelsea, well, they're playing away at Middlesbrough. That'll be at 6 o'clock. Yeah, so just a recap quickly of the international rugby matches to look forward to this weekend. Italy versus SA, that'll be around 4 o'clock kickoff time. Look, South Africa will win this match. It's going to be quite boring, I think, because, well, they're just trying to find something. I don't know what it is, because Alistair Gutsiel crap on about the fact that they have a plan, the team likes the plan, but we haven't seen a plan. So maybe this is it. This is their big trump card. They're going to hammer Italy. That's the Springbok plan for the year.
All right.
Yeah, Brian Abana says it's a really big game. So that'll be at 4. England versus Fiji at 4:30.
Will Alma be commenting on the match from the sidelines?
No, she doesn't go away on the tours.
Okay, shame. They really use Alma because she's the only girl who can pronounce all the rugby names. They use her all over.
Is that why they have her there?
Well, you see, they want a woman. She's very good looking. She knows rugby. And she knows how to pronounce the names.
Yeah.
So they use her for all kinds of things. I see her at awards shows and all kinds of other stuff. And she's good at it. I won't take anything away from her.
Yeah, she won that Lady Rugger thing a long time ago. Yeah. Because Supersport wanted to have this woman presenter search. You know, like reality TV, it was popular, all that kind of stuff. And then she won it. And then they're like, okay, now what? And she's like, yeah, guys, I won this thing. You promised
me give me work.
Make it happen.
God
and
damn
then
it.
Finally, the boys club of guys basically just talking shit was broken up. And there she was. So
At least it's not talks and chops.
Well, Gareth, that's what they call the Afrikaans market. And yeah. long may live talks and chops. And hopefully cholesterol does not get in the way of that show at any given stage. England versus Fiji. Like I said yesterday, Fiji are looking a little bit disheveled right now. I wouldn't say got cholesterol problems like talks and chops, but they got financial problems. They're not getting paid that much. There's a big pay dispute there. Wales versus Japan at 4:30. Scotland versus Argentina at 7. These RGs, now you want to back them, but they go over the Northern Hemisphere. They're very disappointing. They eked out a loss against Wales last week. And I'd like to say they're going to beat Scotland. They probably will, but I won't back them. Don't trust them.
All right.
Ireland, New Zealand, that is the big one. 7:30, put everything aside. Tell your friends that you're not going to that braai. Tell that birthday party you have to go to. We'll get you next year. Ireland, New Zealand is going to be the one to watch. 7:30, get in front of the TV. Get a few beers in, and that's going to be great. And if you do really love rugby, we'll all the way till 10 o'clock tomorrow night. We've got France versus Australia. Now, Australia aren't boring or one-dimensional like South Africa, so they've rung the changes for this one. There's about 9 new guys coming in. They've actually rested people who've played the whole season because they understand what rugby players do.
Uh-huh.
They break down like cars, right? So Michael Checker said, you know what, Israel Folau, you've done well all season. Take a break with this one, mate, along with Hooper and Haile Petty. Smart. It's just smart. Other cricket to look out for, Pakistan versus New Zealand. New Zealand put Pakistan into bat, and a man with a big moustache just ran through them this morning. So Pakistan really on the back foot there. No further news of if Faf du Plessis is going to be suspended, but I doubt it. That whole licking the ball thing, it's just, it'll blow over. And finally, the big ATP finals. Okay, second from last. ATP finals. Djokovic won convincingly yesterday. It's all primed for Djokovic versus Murray, which is what everyone wants to see, really. Because basically, whoever wins that one is world number one for end of the year. That'll take place Sunday night, so look out for that. And the last story, Gareth, is the golf. Currently taking place in Dubai. It is the DP World Challenge. Rory McIlroy had a bit of a dog shit day yesterday. He was 4 over, which is terrible for a man of his qualities. But he's made a big comeback today. 3 under the last I checked. He is racing his way back up that leaderboard, and so he should. Because if he wins this week, he'll become world number one.
Wow.
Yeah, Lee West was top of the leaderboard now, but he'll no doubt nod off in rounds 3 and 4. So, all to play for there. Henrik Stenson no doubt going to win the eventual thing at the end.
Thank you, Ben. There's a look at the sport this morning. Anything I've left out?
I think that's it.
Okay. You sound exhausted. And your weekend is going to be busy because you always watch a lot of sport and pay no attention to Daniela.
Whatever's.
No, she said she doesn't mind because she likes it too.
I always pay attention to her.
Oh, I'm not. God damn it. It's not a court. It's not a court of law. You're not on trial. Calm the fuck down, Ben.
I just don't like lies, Gareth. That's no lies. The difference between me and the ANC cabinet.
1 minute after 8. Listen, there's a crazy group of religious people who say that God has sent Trump to America to save the land.
Oh, okay.
There's always a crazy pastor, and, you know, we love to find them. Listen to this. Yep. It's for real, everybody.
Hi, Steve here. I have got some just mind-boggling information.
Yeah?
And
tell us, Steve.
It's not anything in the news that you've heard, but it's something from the Bible that I read in Ezekiel.
Yes.
And the parallel between Israel and the United States and the message that Ezekiel was bringing to Israel at the time about their destruction.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. And the similarities, the so-called coincidences between the message that was given to Israel by...
By the way, this is his music. I'm not putting this music in the background, all right? It's his. He chose this fucking music.
Ezekiel and what's going on in the United States, well, it may blow your mind like it did mine. I've got to tell you what this is. I've got to share this scripture with you. And then something Jesus said that also blew me away, too, with what's going on right now in America. So I want to share this with you. I want to share this information.
Listen, Steve, I hate people who do this. I know someone who does this all the time, and it drives me crazy to talk to this person.
Does what?
Someone who says, let me tell you something. Just tell me something. You don't have to tell me that you're going to let me tell you something. I don't have to let you. Just say it.
Can I be honest with you?
Just say it. And people who go, well, my opinion on this is, no, you're about to give me the solid objective fact.
Some people like a build-up.
They like to set up the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean everyone else does. Like, can I tell you something? You already have. You're already talking. Just go on with it. Well, let me tell you. Or listen. Okay, well, you're talking, so obviously I'm listening.
I was going to say. Just say it. I hate you, Steve. I already hate you.
With you, you decide. You decide if there's any parallel. Now, I'm always the guy that always says, don't ever take the word of God out of context. And I believe that. And that is that's a rule. That's a ground rule for if you ever want to understand God's word, never, ever take it out of context. So many people, they read a verse and they go, that's the doctrine. There's no doctrine by one verse. You have to take the whole Bible as a whole. You have to take the whole New Testament as a whole and understand that the Word of God says that there's no scripture that's of any private interpretation. So,
all right, well, I got a problem with this right off the beat because...
I know, the music isn't dramatic enough.
The music isn't dramatic enough. Quite right, Ben. But also... Are we now going to... You talk about context. The context is that a bunch of people who just barely learned to write, Bronze Age, mostly goat and sheep herders in the driest, shittiest part of the Middle East, who hadn't really any of them developed a literary tradition of any kind, when the Chinese were already writing on paper in fluent language. And the context is that God decides to go there instead of China... like where they would actually write down exactly what he wants them to write down. But let's, okay, context is not always your friend, Steve.
You know, these people that take one verse and they make it a whole doctrine, and that's right. Why we've got all these different denominations. Okay, you got to take it in context.
All right,
but
thanks.
Let me get back to what I'm talking about here, because just listen to what the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel was given this message from God to talk about what was going to happen to Israel and why.
All right.
Now, it was because of their sin.
Tell us.
Now, if you're a left-wing liberal, you don't think there's any problem in America. You think everything's great and everything this president's done is great. But God doesn't think that. And the same way he didn't think about what was going on in Israel at the time was great either.
Okay.
But listen to what Ezekiel said to the Jewish people back then and see if you don't see the parallel.
Just tell us what he
said. And the mind-boggling coincidental wording that describes America today. If you want to follow along in your Bible, you can go with me to Ezekiel chapter 22, starting in verse 23 to the end of the chapter, which is only till verse 31. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, he's talking about Israel, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation.
Right, okay, you know, the point is that, because I can't handle this anymore, this kind of shit drives me insane. He's trying to say that God has sent Donald Trump to save America. Do you hear this claptrap that this guy's been building up to?
I just want to know what this guy was doing before Trump ran for president.
Nobody knows. Steve, what were you doing before Trump ran for president?
The conspiracy of her prophets.
Okay, no, he's not interested in answering that right now.
That's fine.
Anyway, it goes. He talks for like 20 minutes about this stuff, and most of the time he's talking about what he's going to talk about before he talks about it.
Which really irritates you.
Oh, again. It's the worst. Just say it. If you want to say something, just say it. When we come back, the news. Cliffcentral.com.